Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we're jumping back out. Toyota of Hollywood Hotline right now. We're going to talk to Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com, brought to you by Bud Light, official sponsor of the Miami Dolphins this football season. Keep it crisp with Bud Light. Please drink responsibly. Mike, good morning. What's going on with Pat Mahomes?
Yeah, hey, let me tell you something. It looked like it was going to be bad early on, didn't it? He was laying there on the ground. They brought out the cart. Then they popped that knee back in. He was able to walk off the field. X-rays were negative, which is always a positive, and now we wait for the MRI results. And I haven't seen anything. I've been on the air for the last 3 hours, but I haven't seen any updates. But that MRI is going to determine how long he's going to be out. And this is an interesting angle to consider. Dan Katz, otherwise known as Big Cat, is on the show with me every Friday, and he brought up something I hadn't considered. Even if Mahomes isn't seriously injured, just injured somewhat, right, and could be back in 3 or 4 weeks, if you're the Chiefs, do you, in an abundance of caution, shut him down so you don't risk that RG3 moment that we saw 7 years ago, wow, where the guy comes back to play, suffers the worst injury, and then ends up having the next season derailed? You know, I think there's a sliding scale potentially at play here where maybe, just maybe, the Chiefs look at the future and the reality that they're going to have this guy for 15 years and possibly decide to take a step back this year in the hopes of continuing to take more steps forward next year.
Well, I'll tell you what, we talked a little bit about that today too, and the second part is, do you think, and again, we don't know how long it's going to be, but like you said, even if he comes back, he could be at risk, and I'm not a doctor, but do you go out and get yourself another quarterback? Do you see him trading for a veteran quarterback?
You know, I thought about this last night, and I tried to map out all the options. There's really no one to sign. We know the ship has sailed on Colin Kaepernick. There's no point even wasting any time wondering whether or not they would. It would be beyond stunning if they would after the NFL has successfully shunned this guy for 2.5 years. The guy that I really like is Marcus Mariota, because now he's on the bench in Tennessee. They're not going to want him next year. They owe him more than $10 million for the rest of the season. They could just go with Ryan Tannehill and plug in Marcus Mariota. Mariota took the Titans to Arrowhead Stadium and won a playoff game there. Remember, he had that touchdown pass to himself. And you put him in Andy Reid's offense, it could be interesting, right? More interesting than Matt Moore, who wasn't horrible last night, but when you take away the one throw to Tyreek Hill where he kind of rainbowed it over the top of the defense and Hill ran it in, I think he had like 60 yards passing other than that one play. So I'm very, very intrigued by the possibility of Marcus Mariota. Eli Manning's out there too, and yeah, he's got a no-trade clause, but I'd rather go somewhere and play than continue to sit there looking miserable like he did last Thursday night when the Giants were playing the Patriots. But I like the idea of Mariota. And it may be that Andy Reid has enough confidence in his abilities as a quarterback coach that he could get the most out of whatever Matt Moore has left, even though he was out for all of last year.
You know, the other thing I was going to ask, you think this trade deadline is going to be more active than usual in the NFL over the next week and a half?
We have that conversation every time at this time of year. You know, it's one of those annual checkpoints where, okay, here we go, trade deadline's coming up. Who's going to get moved and who's going to stay put? Is it going to be more than usual? But I think that we have more teams this year that when and now, the big factor is going to be what happens the next 2 weeks, right? You win the next 2 games, maybe you're not selling. You lose the next 2 games, if you're 2-4, maybe you're selling anyone and everyone that you can. And I think that we're going to have a pretty good idea of who the really bad teams are in the next 2 weeks before that deadline, the Tuesday after week 8. And there are plenty of teams in contention. And if guys are available, right, you got to ask yourself, do I want to try to get him or do I want to let one of my competitors get him and make their team better now? And then it's going to be harder for me to get to where I want to be. I mean, I think guys like A.J. Green are in play. I think if I'm the Broncos, after what I saw last night, I take calls on anyone and everyone. And, you know, here's the thing. People can say we're not trading a guy. that's just in order to preserve your leverage so you get the best possible deal when you do trade. And the Jaguars said they're not trading Jalen Ramsey. Unless they have two first-round picks and a fourth-round pick on the table, what do? They traded him, right? I think Patrick Mahomes is the only guy in the NFL that would be untradeable. You can go 3 years out in the draft with your picks. And let's say the Dolphins would offer the Chiefs all of the draft picks for the next 3 years plus all the other draft picks they've picked up. I think the Chiefs would still say, no, we want Patrick Mahomes. But, you know, most guys, there's a price. And I think we're going to see some offers made for some of these veteran players that are with bad teams.
What did you think about some of the Eagles coming out or talking to, I think it was Josina Anderson or someone, kind of upset that they didn't go after Jalen Ramsey? And there are, you know, Patrick Peterson might be on the block too if the right offer's there for him. Like, what do you think happens, and what do you think about the Eagles kind of locker room kind of mouthing off?
Well, I mean, look, when you're a contender, a fringe contender, and there's a guy available, and you see him go to a team that you're competing with, because, look, if the Eagles don't win the NFC East, they're going to be in the mix for a wild card berth potentially, and now they got to worry about the Rams, who are going to be in the mix for a wild card berth because they're 3-3 with a 5-1 team and a 5-0 team in front of them in their own division. So I can understand why players would be frustrated, but you know that's a lot to give up. That's the thing. But before we criticize the Jaguars for trading Jalen Ramsey, two first round picks and a fourth round pick is a lot to get for a guy. And think about how many guys in the NFL, if you would make that offer of two ones and a four, how many guys would, star players, would the answer be absolutely yes, taken? We were arguing about that earlier today, whether Christian McCaffrey would be tradable for two ones and a four. And my thought is he wouldn't be, but you know what? It's two ones and a four. You can find other running backs. Even though Christian McCaffrey is special, it's two first-round picks and a fourth-round pick, and they're right on the precipice where he's going to hold out next year, and they're going to have to pay him market value. That's the other reason to swap out a great player for draft picks. You got those guys locked up for 4 or 5 years at very low rates so you can spend money on other players. So I think it is reasonable for the Eagles players to be a little bit upset. And, now teams that have to deal with the Rams have to also deal with Jalen Ramsey.
How do you think Roger did again at the end of the meetings here in Fort Lauderdale? Roger Goodell, what'd you think overall?
Well, he sees no evidence of tanking. So I think that's all we need to say, right? He sees no evidence of teams tanking. I mean, teams tank every year in subtle ways. When you know you're done and all of a sudden you're putting in your backup quarterback to evaluate him, what are you doing? Are you trying to win? No, you're not trying to win. And everybody understands how valuable it is to be one or two spots higher in the draft. Look at how much draft capital gets given up to trade up a few spots, like the Jets did 2 years ago to trade up to get Sam Darnold. If they had just lost one more game, they would have been in that spot. So teams are smart enough to figure it out. And I think the NFL is – I don't know why the NFL won't acknowledge it. It's almost like the days before gambling was legalized, the NFL acted like gambling didn't exist, even though everybody knew it did. So everybody knows that reality's there. Everybody knows that temptation's there. And I thought it was kind of funny when they asked him about a draft lottery, and he said, oh, that's not something we want. You know what a huge event that would be for the NFL? It would be gigantic in the offseason. They don't want it because they don't want people to make that connection between the temptation to tank and the reward for successfully tanking. So, you know, his press conferences, it's always a smattering of the same sorts of questions. Every once in a while there's something newsworthy, but it's never anything earth-shattering. And sometimes it's stuff that you look at and say, well, that's just not plausible, but he's just saying what he has to say.
Next big-name guy to be on the move in the league right now is who in your eyes?
I think it's A.J. Green. And I think that, you know, in Jacksonville, what we saw was Jalen Ramsey desperately wanting out and the Jaguars trying to find a way to keep him. And he was embellishing, at best, flat-out faking at worst, that back injury. I think this ankle thing with A.J. Green, which did start as a real injury, I think both sides are deliberately slow-playing his return because the Bengals don't want him to come back and get injured before they can trade him. And he doesn't want to come back and play and get injured and not be tradable. He's in the last year of his contract. I don't see the Bengals paying him a big market value deal or anything close to market value. So why not get what you can for him and move on? He's not going to make the Bengals into a playoff contender. I mean, they should be taking offers for any player that they have on the roster at this point. So I think he could be a Patriot. There's some who think maybe he'll be with the Packers. But I think that this is kind of a mutual let's go ahead and delay your return from your ankle injury so this trade can get done. So that's definitely a guy I expect. You know, I think that somebody should call the Broncos and offer them something for Von Miller. I don't know that Von Miller's part of the solution there long term, and they stink.
That would be interesting.
You hear my,
Von Miller,
you hear my dog barking?
I do. I like it. Yeah, it's nice.
Hey, Mike, real quickly too. You think there's been overreaction from the penalty complaining that we just heard from Detroit, and then everybody kind of jumped on nationally, or not?
No, I think that the NFL's biggest problem right now, as it relates to on the field, is the gap between what we see at home and what the officials who are out there trying not to get trampled see in real time, and they've got to close that gap. And the only thing they can really do for the rest of the season before they would consider any rule changes, they need to have Al Riveron and his two lieutenants, Russell Yerk and Wayne Mackey, for the primetime games, the standalone games, the games that the big audiences watch. They need to be ready and willing to talk through that pipeline to the referee at the game site.
Oh, that'd be
and
awesome.
And guide him that's when there's a mistake. Now, here's the thing. That's a violation of the procedure. They're not supposed to use it for that. But from time to time, there's been suspicions that it gets used. There was a suspicion in the Chiefs-Texans game that you could see at one point one of the officials pressing his finger to his ear because somebody was talking to him about how to handle a pass interference call that didn't entail replay review. I think that's something they need to seriously consider doing because, again, it's a very strong PR function here. The fans need to think, the media needs to think that the NFL is getting these calls right. So if you can take somebody who's essentially sitting on the couch watching the game at 345 Park Avenue and let that person talk to the referee and say you made a mistake, fix it, that goes a long way toward restoring faith in this overall officiating process.
Mike, a lot of officials, I just want to follow up, believe that one of the problems is these officials now who are working with Fox and NBC and CBS, and when they come out and they don't agree and they see things differently, then the league has really hurt them as much as anything. And a lot of those officials are really salty about it. But what do you think?
Well, listen. The officials are as catty and petty of a group of people as I've ever encountered. They are so worried about their grades, right? And when you talk to these former officials, you know, it's like a class of high school kids where they want to gossip about this, want to gossip about that. Where there's so much envy and jealousy, and I think that's all been created by the NFL because they've created this system where the higher grades you get, the better assignments you
that's
get.
Correct.
So they resent the good ones. They, you know, and of course the guys who get over the wall, who get paid even more money than the officials get to go talk about it on TV, they really hate them. There's even more reason to be jealous of that.
Oh, they know what they're making, too. I was shocked to know they know exactly what those guys are making. I didn't know they were making that much.
Yeah. So I think that this all is a product of the environment created by the NFL. This is human nature playing out in that kind of poisonous atmosphere that the league created. So I don't think that Mike Pereira, Dean Blandino, Terry McCauley, John Perry are part of the problem. I think they're just a natural symptom of the way the NFL handles this. They don't value those key positions the way they should. If they did, those guys wouldn't take the money to go work on TV. And that's what the NFL needs to do. When you think of the money they're going to make off of gambling in the coming years, they need to spend more money on the officiating function. It is an important function. They need to get it right. And the worst case scenario, and I'm sure I've mentioned this to you guys before, if they have too many of these controversies, as gambling gets legalized in more and more states, at some point there's going to be a controversy big enough to get someone in Congress to say, we need to have an independent agency that has oversight of professional sports as it relates to the quality of their officiating, because hard-earned money by Americans from coast to coast is being wagered all the time on these games, and we need to have full and complete integrity of officiating. And then if you're the NFL, that's the last thing you want. So it's incumbent on them to come up with a fix.
Mike, before we let you go, who's your NFL MVP right now? You got one vote.
Russell Wilson.
Okay.
Russell Wilson. It changes, though.
No, yeah, nobody arguing with you, man. Yeah, that guy is crazy good. Yeah.
Deshaun Watson is in the mix. Christian McCaffrey. And let me tell you this. If the Packers end up with the number one overall seed in the NFC, you've got to look past the numbers and realize and recognize the impact that Aaron Rodgers has on that team if they end up with the number one seed.
I knew you had to come in with a little stretch here early on. You just had to be Mike Florio just a second. Mike, thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Just I'm telling you. If they keep winning – okay. I see you.
See you, Mike. Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, brought to you
Green
by Bud Light.
Defense.
They're so good. Official sponsor of the Miami Dolphins this football season. Keep it crisp with Bud Light. Please drink responsibly.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.